Well, it's a special privilege to be here with you tonight, and to see all who are here, and as we switch gears a little, although it's very closely tied to what Paul's teaching us about, I just hope that I can communicate well with you. That's always my fear, rightly or wrongly, as I prep for anything. Is will I communicate what I felt God asked me to communicate? And so I just ask for your interest in your prayers, that could happen. And as Paul said, we have prayed that whatever God wants to teach us, whatever God wants for us in this regard, that he would show us that. And one of the ways he can do that is through us thinking and influencing each other. It is powerful to think of the King that we serve. And as I seek here to give an example of one way that we as a church here could put local outreach into the forefront of our priorities and vision. I have to explain at the backdrop that for me this is an ongoing process. It's an ongoing thing that I keep dealing with, and that is about my priorities. What are my priorities? What am I here for? And many times I feel like I can get caught up in things that need to happen, but make them the top priority. And when I think about the ministry of Jesus on earth, the life of Jesus on earth, and his heart, his kingdom that we've heard of, I realize that many times I don't follow his example very well at all. And so in our search for and in our exploring one way that we could live as he lived here on this earth. It's my desire that I could serve him as a servant would a king. My journey has been from the day I was born, I suppose. One day I was accepted Jesus as my Savior. And there's been high points and low points, you know, honestly. But I have felt for some time that God is calling me to take seriously ministry on a local level, because that's where I am. Not to diminish the importance of reaching to others in other lands. And I felt like Center Church has done an amazing job of sending people to other lands, and possibly not as good a job locally. Think about that. Now, obviously, I could name a number of names of those who I admire very much for their service through different opportunities locally and through a lifestyle of service and ministry and sharing of the gospel. So there are those examples as well. But I felt like God has been calling me to look seriously at how I can minister locally more regularly and effectively. And so that's what this is about here. I'll start out with giving one example of a way that a congregational ministry could possibly work. I use that term to say a ministry that many of us could participate in some way or another, and I'll give you some more info on that as we go. The second part will be personal testimony from Lyle, Josh, Paul, and myself. Some of the reasons why we think that a ministry like this or similar, as the Lord leads, would be a good idea for ourselves. We will try to answer the questions, why do I need this? And what do I see as reasons for this kind of a ministry? And then thirdly, we want to hear from you. We want to ask for your questions. Question time might be more than just your questions. You may help answer some of them. But we do need your collective wisdom as we look at this. To give a little background, why Josh Lyle and I and Paul would be up here together. It's as simple as brothers, Josh, Lyle, I, and our families being together on a Sunday evening and just talking about what is our purpose here, and what do we feel God would call Center Church to be doing. And in that time of just natural interaction, feeling like there was kind of a moment that we all realized this is something that we feel we ought to at least give a shot. God, our King, deserves this. And we'll see what happens, but we want to be faithful to Him here. So that's how we get this group. And we ask Paul then, as someone with a lot more wisdom than we have, to join us in prayer and mentoring on it. So that's how we sit here. After sharing with the leadership team this idea, which wasn't original with us, by the way, we now share to you. So here's one way that we could do it. I will try to give a brief overview of it. I know I won't cover everything, but then that's what question time and other interaction time will be for. One way that a congregational ministry could work would be, first and foremost, important ingredient would be that we would have a ministry coordinator. Now, this person would be a half-time or full-time coordinator, linking needs locally with resources locally. Now, this person, a key ingredient to this is that this person would receive financial support from the church, much like Craig and Rachel do in Thailand. It wouldn't be so much different than sending a missionary to Hutch, say. Now, what this person does, like I said, is link the needs and the resources. As you would well imagine, this person would also would be a primarily facilitator, matching qualified people with needs. But obviously, being on the front lines, he would have many opportunities to minister to those and to draw people to Christ. So it's facilitated by a ministry coordinator. But it's powered by a congregation, by us as people, potentially. We would, as we go through our daily lives, as we shop, as we interact with whoever it is, one way to get the word out would be to pass out business cards, simply stating ideas of what we could do. Maybe it's repair work, for after all, service, practical work for people could be a door to their heart. Maybe it's helping someone do things they can't do as well in their old age. Maybe it's going to the doctor. Maybe it's grocery shopping. The ideas could continue. So there'd be different things there that we would have on the card as we pass out, along with a phone number. The phone number would potentially be a number that rings to a cell phone that the ministry coordinator would carry. And what that does is allows it to be something that can be passed to someone else for when the coordinator is not able to take those kind of calls. But primarily they would go to this phone so that would be centralized, and he could then check out those needs and see what if we can match that to somebody who would be able to help in some way. Another example of a need could just possibly be someone that's lonely. Wants someone to come visit and speak with them. I've been amazed many times how many of those kinds of people there are. I'm sure there are many other ways that the word could get out, that we are here to serve as Christ served. That's one example. There will be many others. Some brothers here may give them, or you may have ideas there. Obviously, service is not the end goal in ministering to people. And so, let's say there's a porch that needs repairing, and people that can't really do it. Some people are gifted in repairing the porch. Others are not so gifted in that, but they have the ability to interact with the people who is receiving this and can share the love of Christ and develop a friendship. So that could happen as the service happens, as well as the coordinator could, after the project is completed, could set up for certain people who's find this to fit in their schedule to visit and continue contact. This, by the way, is one of the ways that it would be easier as a congregation with a coordinator to do this than a lot of times I find for myself. Contacts are fairly easy, but a lot of times you get it once and then it stops. I think in this way it would be good. It would be good in that the contact could continue, and at least as both parties are willing. I see service as something that, as a people group, we do very well. We like to work. We like to do things. We're very hands-on. And then I think it's a natural fit that service really is the door to the people's heart. I already mentioned that follow-up is critical. It gives us a chance as a group, whoever sees this to be their strength, to follow up with them, stop and visit, possibly invite them to church, whatever it is, steps would be. But continue a friendship. Another thing that I think would help a ministry like this go and grow would be if we would have a share time Sunday morning or Wednesday evening, possibly as an alternative. People could share of the contacts that they've been able to make, maybe the project that they were able to help on. It would help so that you and I can pray intelligently. It would also build an interest in others helping in the kingdom as they can. In this kind of a ministry, there really is something for everyone who is willing to do something, because you need everybody from prayer warriors to pray as contacts are made, as people desire help, to people with practical skills, people that are willing to give of their time. We need people that want to help with follow-up and continue relationship with these people. So I really do believe that there would be something for all who are willing in this kind of a ministry. What would be some of the goals that we would have for a ministry like this? This isn't exhaustive, but this is some things that have come to our minds. Obviously, we want to show the love of Christ as we do these things. We want to introduce people to the King and the Kingdom. We call people from the local community to life in Christ. And ultimately, it's to bring Him glory. This isn't something that we do selfishly, or if we do, it's in vain. Now, I don't know what I've missed. I know I've missed things. This is one idea. This is an idea, a framework that we can work off of. And so now we'll go to let Lyle come first and just share, thinking especially on the two questions, why do I need this? What do I see as reasons to do this? And whatever else he sees, thinks of, that he would like to add to what I've said. Lyle, Josh, Paul, and then I'll come back up.
Thank you, Tim, and also thank you, Paul. It's very encouraging to hear about kingdom. Why do I need it? Well, I think I do need it. And I've been learning a lot about the kingdom, just in ways I didn't think of it before. I didn't, you know, we have a king and we're serving him. And this kingdom is throughout the whole world. It transcends all earthly kingdoms, and it spreads through people's hearts. And it spreads by service, by doing what Jesus did. And it's just exciting to think that we're part of this kingdom, and he is asking us to do something. And so I need a kingdom focus, and so that's one reason I think I need an outreach ministry like this. Why this would be good for me is that I need to have a kingdom focus. I suppose now, as much as any time in history, there are a lot of things that are screaming for attention. And that are wanting my attention, wanting me to focus on, wanting me to give loyalty to. And so I think it's especially important right now that I learn to have a kingdom focus. And by having something organized as a congregation where we do something regularly, where I maybe commit myself to doing, say, 2 hours a week, maybe taking off work early, maybe taking an afternoon off every several weeks and doing outreach work instead of doing paid work. Doing something like that to sharpen my focus and to remind me that this kingdom is supposed to be part of everything I do. So I see that it could be really good in sharpening my focus, and so that it would be a reminder not only then that, you know, this 2 hours a week or whatever it would happen to be, that this I do kingdom work now, but that it's reminding me that, okay, I'm doing kingdom work, but remember, I went to town and I helped this person. Now I'm going to town this other time. I'm still part of the kingdom. I'm not officially doing an outreach thing, but I'm still representing the king. So hopefully that could become part of my life. Another thing, another way I see this as being a good thing is that it's service. It's practical outreach. And Jesus was practical. He healed people, and he loved people, and he didn't simply preach them a message and leave them. He healed them, and he touched them. And I see that right now we are the body of Christ. We are his hands and his feet. We are the people. We are doing what Jesus would do if he were here right now. And I think about, what would he do if Jesus were living in this time right now and going to this church? How would he reach out? And I think the best way to answer that is to look at how he did reach out. And I think it's neat. He said that he had to leave. Jesus said he had to leave so the Holy Spirit could come, so that all kinds of things could happen. Not as much could happen when Jesus was here, because there was only one of him, and we, you know, depend on him, just kind of go to him and don't spread out. And but now that we have the Holy Spirit, he is giving us life. And so I think it's so neat that each of us can be Spirit and produce life and work together as a church. And another thing I think is good about this is that it will strengthen, I see it as strengthening the body. We have a lot of differences. And it's probably not going to get any easier to work together over time, you know, just because we have differences. But if we start working together on kingdom things where Jesus is central, I see that bringing us together. And week by week, as we're reminded about what this person is doing, the contact they made, and this person is doing, and this family, and we pray for it, it starts uniting our hearts around the kingdom and serving our king. So those are a few of the things that I have a vision for that I think could be really neat for this.
Well, obviously, getting excited about this has been something of a journey for me. One of the things that I've been thinking about recently is, if the kingdom is important to me, how do I communicate that to my family? What am I doing that makes it obvious that for me, the kingdom of God is something more than going to church and meeting with friends afterwards? And I guess one of my visions for an outreach like this is that it's very family-oriented, that it's something I can take I can go with my siblings, or I can go with my children and go work with them in practical things that that are working for the kingdom. And in that way, communicate that this is something that I'm willing to sacrifice other things to do. And I feel like I have too many things going already. And so I guess one of the first questions I had was, where do I find the time to do this? But then I started realizing that I have so many things going that really aren't of eternal importance. And if I care about the kingdom and care about eternal things, surely I can find some of those to give up and prioritize below something like this. And so I see, you know, maybe want to do something with some friends, and so we tell the ministry coordinator, you know, we'd like to do something this evening, and he lines something up. And so instead of just hanging out at our house and maybe having a meal together, we go out and do something for somebody and build relationships. I think that the kingdom of God is all about relationships. And so I guess I yearn to build relationships with non-Christians. If I don't have relationships with them, why do I expect them to listen to me? Why do I expect them to understand that I have something that they need? And I think maybe especially in America today, the level of cynicism is pretty high, and people really aren't looking for another tract. But Christianity that caused me to help people, to help them, and build a relationship with them, I think is a door to connecting with people. That's something I'm excited about, is building relationships with people. We have a neighbor, Pearl. She's an older lady, never married, and she's getting older. It's been interesting to watch as her friends and her acquaintances kind of slowly die off. She's left without a lot of connections. And there's not a lot of people that, you know, want to do stuff with her. And she doesn't have the community that we have where there are friends or youth to come over and visit her. And there's not a lot of family. You know, she spends Thanksgiving and Christmas by herself. And I just kind of cringe at that. And yet I think there's lots of opportunities like that for us to connect with people and build relationships with people and just locally. So those are some of the things that I'm excited about. I look forward to.
The other brothers have shared a lot of my thoughts too. Our experience was a little different. We were asked to join these couples, families, but we had been praying a long time. What the Lord, you know, we appreciate the welcome here. And I don't know, I might share a little something on my heart tonight. I've been wanting to share it for quite a while, but I didn't know if my emotions would allow me to share it, so I'll try. First of all, I do just want to thank you all for your welcome to us and in helping us the adjustment. And what I shared this evening about dying, I'll just be honest with you, I'd rather not be here, if you know what I mean. I'd rather be somewhere else. I'd rather be in Europe. But we're convinced the Lord has led us here, and we rest in that. Not that we hate being here. We love you all, and we rest in that. So the question is, what does the Lord want us here? And we sense kind of a, you know, talk with different people, people with a burden and a desire for outreach locally. And we sense a stirring of the Lord, of the Holy Spirit, we felt. And then when this came up, it seemed like the Lord was saying, this is something concrete that we could feel God's leading. And we're still waiting to see how God continues to lead. And we realize, like the others have said, there's a lot of this thing going on. The difference with this would be, it would be as a church. And it does. It wouldn't mean to snuff out the spontaneous things that are going on, but it would just, for instance, Brother David last Sunday shared about a lonely lady in the manor. Well, everyone should feel free to go visit her. But with something in place, it could help to make sure that someone will go and visit her. That would be the difference. And the thing that spoke to Edith and me about this is that, you know, I think all of us are concerned about the generation gap, about that we pull together as a brotherhood, and this would be something that would gently bring us together, and it wouldn't always be easy, and it's something we would have to depend on the Lord for. But if we allow it, the Lord, as the others shared, the Lord could use this to bring us together in Him as we seek His will in reaching those out there. And I know what, as I look at this time-wise, it will force us to choose priorities. I don't see this as something to add on my to-do list or another place to go on an evening. I can't handle more of that. I know I have to make choices. And I think that's good. And Jesus said that seek His kingdom first, and these things will be added unto us. And also another burden I think we all have is there are needs within the congregation. What about those? Do we neglect those and go out there? And I think all of us are interested in meeting each other's needs. But I think sometimes people overlook because simply there's nothing in place to put people together. And I think that possibly could also be included in something like this. Who knows? So we just desire that God would have His way and that God would work through the whole church further to make His will known.
For me too, it's reasons I'm excited about this for myself is that also it could be very family oriented. I have enjoyed very much the opportunity to participate in M2, and I still see it as very vital. But I cannot you take my family with me. That doesn't minimize M2's importance at all. It only says that I think if I can, with my family, serve others, I think it does something like what Josh said, that it really teaches them, shows them that I do believe this. It's not just something, let's go spend time at church. Not to minimize that, obviously. I think it also gives a platform to teach our children about things that sometimes they learn about from their peers. I think it could help us to teach them things about consequences of bad choices in relation to, I think, any addictive substances, potentially. I think it could have a good impact that way. It's a concern of mine for my family. I'm also excited in this about the potential that a group this size would have if we would regularly give 2 hours in place of something else that we already did that maybe isn't as important. If you start to add up the amount of hours that could be, it's just impressive what God could do through regular sacrifice for His kingdom. And that's something I want to take for myself. I want to say that I hope it's understood that all these comments and this dream is not to minimize any other ministries that are already in place and are going. We don't want that. That is not the point at all. And obviously, I already had said as well that many have made life's decisions along this way, along these lines, and maybe some of us are just 15, 20, 35, 40 years behind you. But please believe me when I say I don't want to minimize anything that others have put their energy to kingdom work that has been a deliberate decision on somebody's part. Anything else before we leave time for questions? I think we just want to hear from you now. What questions did you have that would help to clarify what we have stated? Would whatever questions would be, and there's a possibility that some of these questions might be something that you'll help answer for us. So I don't know what you'd have, but I want each one to feel welcome to speak up and ask them. And we've got a group of people that may or may not have the answer, but we can at least try to help you as much as we can. So who's got a question they would like to ask? Sam. Yes, go ahead. Sam, just a minute. I think he'll get you a mic there so we can make sure everybody can hear. Thank you.
I'm just thinking of the example of Oasis needed a building. And they had this shed out there that had the steel structure. And they were needing help. So Keith and Brian brought their crew out and put the roof on with quite a bit less than what they normally would charge. Prairie Construction came out and put up steel with a minimum charge. And then Sturdybuilt helped with materials and made that project just a real viable project. And there's a lot of hands went in, and some of you helped on that project too. So I'm just thinking this is an example that I think is what you're, what might become of something like this.
Thank you. Other questions? I think potentially, and I think, you know, it's something I didn't mention, but this is just a personal idea. I think there are organizations that would be just happy to equip us with things, practical service things to do. I mean, you've got Interfaith Housing, you've got First Call for Help, Soup Kitchen. I mean, there are opportunities that this coordinator could also help coordinate. But part of it is just he understanding what are the opportunities out there and connecting those, the need to the available servant. Does that answer it? I expected a lot more questions out of a group this size. I'm sure they're still coming. Yes, Karen. Now, when you say a certain center that it's...
I'm thinking of a location in town or something, are you, that people could come to if they need help?
As far as an office or something at this point.
Phone number for the call.
Not at this point. We hadn't pictured that, but our picture might change, I don't know, with time, but not at this point. Yes, Rebecca. How will the coordinator know who's available for what? Who wants to answer that question? I'll let someone else talk this time.
Well, I guess my vision for it is that that we as a congregation register our availability. Maybe it's a no-brainer, but you know, maybe we want to plan an evening 2 weeks from now when we get together with some friends and do something together. And we talk to the coordinator and say, hey, you've got anything this evening? Or, you know, say there's a standing invitation, you know, I'm off Friday afternoons. You know, if there's somebody that needs help Friday afternoons, let me know. That kind of thing.
Another possibility that we talked about would be that you would have the people who want to be involved would list how they could serve. Mm-hmm. Then the and you would have that, and the coordinator would have a record of all that. And then he would know who to call for what type of thing.
And there's also, it's not quite the same thing, but it's similar. There's a church I know of that instead of having offices voted for, like the Sunday school offices and just responsibilities around the church, they have a sign-up sheet, and they ask people to sign up. And also, they require 4 hours of service every week, that you're expected to do that, whether it's cleaning or praying for people or whatever it is. And it seems like an awful lot of time, but that's what they do in order to be a member at the church. You do 4 hours. So there could also be a kind of thing like that. I don't know, that seemed like an awful long time, but it's, you know, it's something that's out there.
Yeah. Other ideas you have? No? Yes, Grandpa.
Well, it seems to me it might be a good idea to have a coordinator because the ministers already have a heavy load.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be something that would be very worthwhile and somebody at the helm to look to. If we find out about a need, we could tell our coordinator.
Mm-hmm. Yes, David.
I'm assuming the coordinator would also feel free to make contact when there was need, and not necessarily go by the list.
Certainly, I think that'd be excellent. Titus?
The recording committee'd like to get these questions on tape, so if you could just pause 10 seconds, we'll get them on.
Sorry about that. I think along the line of what Grandpa said, too, truth is that already... I believe the deacon would receive some of these kinds of calls for help, and some of those could be immediately transferred to a coordinator. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I just have the impression that there's no one under.
Mm-hmm.
Just an example might be that last Saturday we became aware that there was someone in town who, because of not having paid his rent, needed to leave his apartment by the 1st of December, which would have been Tuesday. And the fact that he hadn't paid his rent may be due to some mismanagement on his part, but it was something that situation that we had been involved with and been aware of before. On Sunday morning, then, his wife developed some complications from a prior surgery and started hemorrhaging, had to go back to the hospital, and then and so he was faced with his wife in the hospital and perhaps facing surgery and needing to be out of his apartment or some other provision being made. And then I was kind of wishing I could just call a coordinator at that point.
We think 4 hours a week sounds long. I think we better look around at our deacon and others. Other questions?
This isn't really a question, but I just want to affirm your vision. And I don't want to assure you that there's a great need for this type of thing in our world. In my job, I see a lot of people every day who nobody else wants to deal with. No one else has time for. And I'm often frustrated that I can only do so little, and there's no opportunity for follow-up, for contact after I give them a ride to the hospital or whatever. And I think there's just a great need for the church to meet some of those kinds of needs. I'm sure that if we gave our coordinator's number, his business card, to law enforcement, to EMS, to fire, to social workers, our phones would be ringing off the hook. And so I just offer that as a affirmation of the vision I hear developing here. I'm excited about what's ahead.
I'm going to just risk the opportunity to say something here about the whole concept. You see, there was a time in America where the churches took care of the social needs in the country. And that has almost disappeared. There's lip service done, and a little bit of this and that, you know, a little bit here and there. But as far as the evangelical church picking up and doing this, they're not doing it. We're not doing it. And we currently, this whole question is a matter of partisan debate in politics. And some of us will align ourselves with those who, because there's no better option, who would like to see more social programs just so that needs get met. There are other Christians who align themselves with a different line of thought, that you create a welfare mentality, and that's true. You can do that. I think the call for the church is to step forward to meet these needs, and I know it's the needs are vast, but I can't help but remember a little story that Lauren Kipfer told one time of this man. And so, looking at the vastness, you say, how will you possibly help all these people? He told the story of the man who was walking on the beach. You may have heard it. It was after a storm, and the storm had washed up multitudes of starfish on the beach. He was throwing the starfish back into the water. And a passerby stopped and asked, what do you think you're doing? He said, I'm going to save starfish. He said, there's no way that you can make any difference with all these starfish out here. The man stooped down, picked up a starfish, and threw it out in the water and said, I did for that one. You know, the thing we forget is that for every human being, there is a world. And we have the opportunity to change the entire world, a world at a time.
Yes, David, just a minute, we get the mic here. David L.
It seems to me that, well, we're all aware that the people, the number of people here, just about more than what the building was built for. And so we talk about another outreach, and I think that is an idea that probably we all would approve of, but it's much easier to talk about it than it is to carry it out. And I think if this kind of a ministry went into action, it would sort of alleviate the pressure to do something right quick. It doesn't alleviate, it does take away the need, but I think it would be a good thing to do while we're waiting for the outreach.
You know, I'll just admit, I actually finally noticed that we're past 9 o'clock, so sorry if I'm ruining someone's evening, but I do just enjoy you helping us shape this. So, yes, Elmer.
I might just give a warning on some of this. I don't know how many years ago it was, we got a call from somebody that we never met before and said that we are needing money to pay a light bill. And so I called Gary and he told us to go ahead and take care of it and turn it into the church. Well, we went out and investigated and helped them pay $325 on a light bill that was overdue or something. Anyhow, they said we'll be glad to pay that back. And, of course, they didn't intend to, and they never did. And we never turned it in. But I had a feeling they were involved with drugs. And if we get involved like this, we're going to find people that want money and help that way that are going to take advantage of us if we aren't careful. I don't want to knock. I think it's a good plan.
We will find people who want to take advantage, and we will have the opportunity to do as Christ did in those cases. And I know it'll be challenging, and there will be all kinds of case-by-case things that will just be better for a number of minds to work at than one, I'm quite sure. But that, I don't think, should stop us from trying to follow the command of Christ. Are there any other questions before I turn it back to David? Yes.
I have just one example, if I may.
Uh-huh.
A couple of years ago, we had that high school man.
Thank you.
A couple of years ago, we had that ice storm up north, and I was out. First off, I had all my chainsaws all stoked, ready to go, thinking I was going to make a bundle. And then I have a couple Christian friends, and we got out, and we went to church, and we got full of the Holy Spirit, and we just wanted to thwart all those people who were going to gouge everybody. So we went out, and we just started helping people out. And it was amazing. We got a lot of people to come to church in the Central Park area of Topeka, and it was because and there was like this coordinator who was the guy who could speak of the three of us that were out there cutting the trees down and stuff, and he was the one kind of ministering and stuff. But that was kind of cool. That was really neat, and we benefited by all the wood that we got. We burned it and stuff, but. That was an example. We had a lot of fun. I mean, it was about 2 or 3 weeks, and it was just some good hardcore down to earth grassroots ministering and cutting wood. It was great.
Thank you. Okay. Well, the questions don't need to stop. We want to keep interacting on it. So I think that as we reach out and minister to those in need, a couple things will happen. We meet practical needs that would otherwise go unmet. That's one. We demonstrate to the world what a true believer looks like. We open doors to share the gospel with the lost. We grow spiritually as we turn time, money, and hearts to the kingdom in practical ways. We grow closer as a body as we minister together in a common work. And ultimately, we minister to Christ as we serve others. May He receive all the glory.
I I failed to tell you everything that's on the schedule for this evening. Part of this was to be a prayer meeting, and I somehow don't feel right just foregoing that entirely. And so I am going to ask, in this case, I'm just simply going to ask several of the ministers who've been silent all evening to lead us in a word of prayer for this work as we stand together. Oren, would you lead out, and then Gary, would you close?
Our Father, we thank you for the vision here that has been presented. Just continue to pray your blessing on the men that have done this this brainstorming, this talking, and we just bring the whole project to you. We know that there are many needs out there, and we want to be able to reach out and meet practical needs. But at the same time, even beyond that, to touch people for the kingdom. We know that that Jesus is the ultimate example of laying aside his kingly robes and coming down here and was girded with the towel of humanity and served. And he said he did not come to be served, but to serve. And so we just continue to pray your blessing on the plan, the project as it is further considered as it unfolds, and just ask your blessing upon it in the name of Jesus.
Lord, we thank you for how you've ministered to us, and thank you for how you've worked in various ways in the past. And as we stand at this juncture, we pray your guidance in filling and protection, that these dreams that we have could be properly carried out through the Holy Spirit's direction, and that we could be sensitive and obedient. Pray that you would, we just praise you for how you've worked and give you glory. Pray that you would continue to work through us your will, that it could be more perfectly done on earth as it is in heaven. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I recognize that the things we've discussed this evening are things that we have been churning in our minds, obviously more in some than in others. And now there will be more churning, I'm sure. And we just like to do what we can to pull the body together on this, to work together. Does that mean that every person will be equally involved? Obviously not. But it does mean that I think we're going to have to answer a question to ourselves and to others and to the Lord most of all. And that is how we are willing to enter in and to be a part of this as the Lord opens the door, and if he continues to lead in this way. We recognize that if it's going to be a church ministry, it will take the effort of the church. It'll take the consensus. It'll take the blessing. And so we invite you to continue interacting and asking questions of anybody you think has answers. And there'll be hard questions, too, that we expect. So may the Lord have his way. In your mailboxes, you will find a handout that is actually it's a paper that Brother Ellis wrote. And this happened. These young men were doing some brainstorming, and while Ellis's were here on furlough, mentioned something to him, and he said, "Well, I've done some writing on that, just of his own." And Went to looking for it, didn't find the paper he'd written, so he wrote a new one, probably very similar to the other one. So you will enjoy the perspective that gives. It is one person's perspective, and yet it's a very helpful document for you to look at and to mull over, and I hope be inspired by it. There are some extra copies too, if there are people in your household that would like to have their own copy and the one copy doesn't reach for the household. Have several announcements I'd like to make yet. next month, on January the 10th, that is, I believe, a Sunday evening, it is that we would like to plan for a men's meeting, the one that was going to happen this evening. And so the subject matter will be different. This may well be touched, but we would like to plan for a meeting on January the 10th for the men. Have an announcement here that I'd like to read with regards to Brother Oren and his family. It most directly affects Brother Oren. Many of you will remember that over the past months, Brother Oren and members of his family have publicly mentioned personal and family needs for our prayers and support. More recently, at our ministers' meeting, Brother Oren reported that the weight of family responsibilities was heavy enough that his family is recommending that he reduce his other responsibilities in order to focus more on family needs and to seek personal emotional healing. We have been pleased with his contribution in the ministry among us. Yet, understanding some of the challenges and demands this places on him, we ministers offered him a sabbatical from regular ministerial duties, and Brother Oren has accepted this offer. We ministers and Oren and his advisors will develop and modify the sabbatical plan in accordance to his interest and needs as time progresses. Let us continue to support Oren and Joe and their family in prayer and other meaningful ways as they seek healing and restoration. Just again, want to reiterate, we really appreciate Brother Oren's ministry among us, and this is simply an effort to give him some room that he needs to. For restoration and healing, as we mentioned here. Brother Oren, I would just invite any comment that you'd like to make, if you're set.
Just thank you, Brother, for picking up the slack. And certainly, I'm open to visiting with any of that.
Yeah. Yes. Well, thank you. We'd like to move forward with the membership, taking the John Miller family, be John and Frida, Rachel, and then John's mother Fanny in as members as soon as we can. I will be going to Perkins this coming week, this coming Sunday. The following Sunday is the 13th, and it depends some a little bit on Rachel's work schedule and also Fanny's health. So we may be needing to take them in or grant them their membership a little piecemeal, but we'd like to move on through with that. And if there's any questions you have that you'd like to ask us, any comments, please feel free to do that. On a little lighter note here, got a mailing from a church in Pratt that apparently puts on has a Christmas sort of a Christmas deal going. They have nativities from around the world is what it's called, and this would interest people who are more interested in art and that sort of thing than I am, probably. But there's a bit of a description on the bulletin board. It's not something that I have any reason to recommend, but I also felt like not knowing more about it than I do. Anyhow, I can't really recommend. I don't know that I can recommend it, but I felt it'd be a little selfish of me to just sit on that letter, because if people do have an interest in it, you'd be welcome to it. There's like I think around 350 kinds of nativities they have there. The tiniest one is one painted on a seed from the Amazon. So it's quite a variety. Yes, Gary. It is, yes. For this week, it is the 4th, the 5th, and the 6th. So that is starting Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So just that, thanks for that, for the assist there, Gary. Yes?
Our neighbors across the road to the north have an array of colorful Christmas stuff that is quite an eye.
Yes, it sort of lights up the town of Partridge, doesn't it? Yeah, same as. Yes, Brother Oren's ministry began well ahead of his marriage, and the Lord has certainly blessed that. Thank you for that, Amos. Now, I wonder what announcements you might have, Hans.
For the youth going to the mosque on Friday, meet here at 10:30, and we want to be rolling out the drive at 10:45. Meet here at the church. 10:30 Friday morning.
Justin.
Yeah, the topic for next Wednesday evening will be Sin and the Christian by Don Miller.
It might be good to announce that Friday evening, the grade school, or part of the grade school, is having a science fair here, and somebody can need to help me out on the time for that.
There are two different times.